আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু নাহমাদুহু ওয়া নুসাল্লি আলা রাসূলিহিল কারীম আম্মা বা'দ বিসমিল্লাহির রাহমানির রাহিম We moving on now with point number 10 regarding our salah. It is unfortunate that many women fail to perform the qada salah of the many salahs that they miss after their haid by their delay in taking a bath. If a woman is conscious about the ruling pertaining to haid, and if she is careful, she will not have to miss any salah. If she still does miss any of her salah, she should ensure that she performs the qada immediately. In addition to performing one's own salah, one should ensure that one's daughters, who are more than 7 years of age, also perform their salah. Right? The daughters must perform their salah regularly. If one has got sons, right, and the sons are, over seven years old, then she must ensure that they are performing their salah. Once they come to an age, understanding age, 10 years old, etc., then she must send them to the masjid also with the father to read the salah with jamaat. One should also have a deep concern that one's servants and employees perform their salah regularly. They should not be a soul, obviously this is if they are Muslim, they should not be a soul in one's home who neglects his or her salah. At the same time, one should make sincere dua to Allah Ta'ala that he should guide every Muslim on earth to perform salah regularly and correctly. One should not neglect reciting books of ahadith like Fazail-e-Amal, right? Now in the Fazail-e-Amal, you get a section of Fazail-e-Salah, then there's a section on warnings for those who don't read Salah. So ta'lim of this, if it is made in the home, then inshallah you'll find everybody will become concerned regarding the Salah. Then for you girls now, you'll have done Riyadus Salihin, so make ta'lim of Riyadus Salihin in the home, right? This ta'lim must be made to the entire family. You girls are in madrasa, right? Which one of you has started ta'lim in your home? You are doing Riyadus Salihin, you have learned the ahadith. Mother may be busy, father may be busy, siblings may be busy, but have you all thought that, hey, Allah Pak is blessing us with this knowledge? It's fresh in our minds. We just did the hadith today. One hadith, let us make ta'lim of it. Let us tell our parents that, okay, you know what? Lunchtime we are all together, or supper time we are all together. Before we eat, we'll just read one hadith or two ahadith from the kitab. Which one of us has taken that initiative? Now when we talk about serving the deen of Allah, the only thing that comes to mind is I must get one post in one madrasa and I must start teaching over there. No. Or I must go and have program somewhere. I have to have a program to give a talk. No. You can serve the deen of Allah in your home. In your house you can be serving the deen of Allah Ta'ala. So make some himmat, today is a day of Jumu'ah, make some niyat, make dua to Allah Pak, Ya Allah, accept us for this and start some ta'lim in the house. This should be done on a daily basis so that their family can be encouraged to carry out good deeds and to adhere to all the practices of deen. Of course, non-mahram men and women shouldn't be allowed to sit together if they are brother-in-laws in the home. So now this lady whose voice is supposed to be parda from her brother-in-law, she mustn't be reading the kitab loudly. Rather, let the father of the home read the kitab. Then everybody can listen. The men will sit separately, the woman will sit separately, and everybody can listen. Otherwise, the ladies can have their own ta'lim, the men can have their own ta'lim. The husband and wife, when they are alone in the room, they can have ta'lim for 5 minutes. The guidelines pertaining to salah mentioned above have been extracted from the book Islahul Khawateen by Hazrat Hakimul Ummah, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Every woman should make an attempt to read this valuable book. We shall now quote two incidents from the book Fazail Sadaqat to illustrate the attachment that women of the past had with their salah. The first story. It has been reported that after performing her Isha salah, Hazrat Habiba Adawiyya rahmatullahi alayha, would wrap herself up properly and stand on the roof of her home. Now the roofs of their homes were different. The roofs of their homes were not like our roofs. I don't know if you girls know how flats were built before. See, if you go to Saudi, even up to now, you will find, you know, some homes have a roof garden. They call it a roof garden. The roof is actually a slab, right? And it's got walls all around. Now, people who used to live in the city centers, they had their shops at the bottom, right? Then they had their flat on the top where they were living. Now, on top of the flat, the roof will be a slab. They'll have a staircase going up onto the slab. And on the top there, they'd have their little garden. They'd have one swing there, maybe. You know, they have sometimes people who like their braais, they have their braai stand there. Then they have the washing line also for the clothes, because they've got no backyard and all that. So this used to be like their backyard, but it's on the roof, right? And now because it's hot, so I remember when I went to Jalalabad also, the South African students' boarding was also built like that. And it was very, very hot. So we used to read Taraweeh, or we tried reading Taraweeh on the roof. Right, on the same type of setup, the roof, right? But what actually happened was there was so much of mosquitoes at that time that we only lasted a few days, and after that then we came back inside because the mosquitoes were finishing us up. But khair, this is the type of thing that I'm talking about, this like a roof garden type of a thing. So they used to have like a roof that was a slab, and there were walls all around it, so the neighbors and all that couldn't see you. So don't try to do this on your roof now. Okay, so khair. So she would stand on the roof of her home and she would make dua. She would say, "Oh Allah, the stars have hidden themselves and people have gone to bed. The kings have all closed their doors and people are in solitude with their loved ones. I am now standing before you. I am standing in front of you." She would then perform salah the entire night until Subah Sadiq. Now remember, for a lady, if her husband is at home, she can't just go now and make tahajjud whole night now. Right? Maybe her husband wants her to come and lie down next to him, she'll get more sawab for that. Right? But if her husband is not at home, he's gone in jamaat, he's gone to the khanqah, whatever, then spend the night in ibadat. Can't spend the whole night, spend major portion of the night in ibadat. You know, sometimes ladies only squeal. Yeah, he's only going in jamaat, he's only... It's so wonderful for her during those days. Because now she's got no obligation towards her husband during those days. So she can use those days to build her taluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if she wants to make ibadat for 5 hours in the night, 3 hours in the night, who is there to stop her? There is nobody to stop her. But when the husband is at home, she has to cook, she has to make sure, you know, everything is sorted out, then he may need her. So she must capitalize on the time when the husband is gone in jamaat, or the husband is gone to the khanqah, etc. When dawn broke, she would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Oh Allah, the night has departed and the day has arrived. I wish I knew whether you have accepted my night's ibadat, so that I may congratulate myself, or whether you have rejected it, so that I may sympathize with myself. I swear by your honor that if you have to shove me away from your door, I would never leave it, because I am well aware of your extreme generosity, your extreme mercy." Right? So I won't leave it. Even if you throw me away, you tell me to go away also, I'll still stand there. I won't go anywhere. What a beautiful dua she used to make to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then we have Hazrat Ujra rahmatullahi alayha. She was a blind woman. And she would spend the entire night awake in ibadah. She would be extremely grieved when the night drew to a close. When morning would come, she would be extremely grieved. And she would say, "Oh Allah, your group of worshippers have spent the hours of darkness running towards you. They have been racing with each other to acquire your mercy and forgiveness. O Allah, I am begging from you only, and I have none but you to ask. I beseech you to admit me into the ranks of the earliest, you know, the Muqarrabun, what we talk about, the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon. She's making that dua. O Allah, include me amongst the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, the early stalwarts of Islam. Include my record of deeds among those of the highest status, and join me with those who are the Muqarrabun, those who are extremely close to you. You are truly the most merciful of those who show mercy, the highest of all those who have position, and the most generous of all those who show any generosity. O the most kind, shower your kindness on me. She will then fall into sajda, weep profusely, and make dua until Subah Sadiq. Let us make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ya Allah, we don't have the ikhlas of these women. We haven't put in the effort of these women. But O Allah, the dua that they made, let it be accepted on our behalf also. What beautiful duas they made to you, O Allah. It could only be duas that were taught out of love. We don't have that love. But O Allah, bless us with the barakat of these duas also. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Khair. We now move on to the section of the salah of a woman. Right? Now, they are mentioning certain points here which you know of, you are aware of, but as I said, you know, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. You must keep the following guidelines in mind when performing salah. Number one, ensure that you face the Qibla. Ensure that you face the Qibla. Number two, stand up straight, keep your gazes fixed on the place of sajda. It is makruh to stand with the head bent forward in a manner that the chin rests on the chest. Now, sometimes people think that this is a sign of humility. No, it is makruh to stand like this. We must stand straight. It is also incorrect to unnecessarily bend the back. Number three, your toes must also face Qibla. Don't stand 10 past 10, you know. Stand with the toes facing towards the Qibla. Facing the toes of the right foot towards the right and those of the left foot towards the left, as I said to you, 10 past 10, this is contrary to the sunnah. Number 4, maintain a space of approximately 4 fingers between the feet. Now, this is an approximate amount. The amount will vary. Sometimes you will get a lady who is I don't like to use the term, but somebody who has got a lot of weight. You don't want to call anybody fat, but somebody who has got a lot of weight, right? So sometimes she will need to have more space between her feet, right? Due to her weight, otherwise she won't have any balance, right? So this is just an approximate amount. In other words, what we are being told is, don't leave unnecessary space between our feet. Don't leave that much of space which is necessary, leave that much of space, not more than that, right? Wear a large shawl which covers the entire body from head to feet, right? Like what you call a cloak or something like that, right? Of course, the shawl should not be made of a thin material, something that is see-through. It is permissible, you know, one is see-through, right? You know, the other thing is, please, you know, I'm really appealing to you. You know, nowadays, the materials that are being used to sew cloaks. You see, you get different types of materials, right? One is you get a material that has got, it's a bit thick. Not very thick where you feel hot. But the material doesn't cling to you. Right? And the other is you get some materials that are so soft that if you're sitting also, now it will take the shape of your legs. You gone into sajda, it will take the shape of your body. It's so soft, right? That it just shows the shape of your body no matter what posture you're in. Now, you know, these type of materials are not right to be used for cloaks and all of that. Yes, if you're using it for, your, what you call, your garment, your dress at home, in front of your husband, yeah, no problem. That's fine. But to wear it as a cloak, this is not right. This is not right. Khair. I don't know if anybody is going to listen. We just carry on repeating it. Our duty is to repeat, to remind, to make amal. To make others make amal, that is not our duty. We can only educate. To force somebody else into action, that we can't do. Kurtas also, it's going out of hand. It's going out of hand, the types of kurtas people are sewing, the types of patterns on kurtas and all. What is all of this? Allah pa khair kare. Anyway, it is permissible for the face, feet and hands up to the wrist to remain uncovered, because salah would be correct whether they remain covered or uncovered. Sometimes you are reading namaz in an airport. One is if the airport has got a musalla, it's a different situation. But sometimes the airport doesn't have a musalla. Right? The airport doesn't have a musalla and you need to read your salah. Now you're reading salah openly. Right? You're reading salah in an open space, people can see you. Then rather leave your face covered. Don't open your face to read your namaz. Okay. Salah will be invalid if you perform salah wearing garments through which the body is visible or which do not conceal the entire body. You going into sajda, your neck is showing in the back. That flimsy excuse of a scarf that you're wearing on your head, each turn you make, your neck is getting exposed. So namaz won't be accepted with that type of clothing. Right, number 7. If during the course of your salah, a quarter of any part of your body besides the face, hands and feet becomes exposed for the duration in which Subhana Rabbi al-Azim can be recited thrice, your salah will be invalid. Right? Because a lady, her entire body is her satr. So if any portion gets exposed for the duration of 3 Subhanallahs or Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, then that namaz is invalid. If it is exposed for a duration less than this, the salah will be valid, but you will be guilty of a sin. Number 8. It is makruh to perform salah wearing clothes that one will not wear in front of people because it is extremely disrespectful. Right. Now, I mentioned this to you when we were doing Anwarus Salah, that you will wake up Fajr time, right? The same pyjamas you're wearing, you just put your burqa on top and go and read namaz with that pyjamas. But if a visitor comes to your door, then you won't want to be seen with those pyjamas. Then you want to go. If your father says, right, come, we're going Nani's house, or we're going to buy something from the shop, then you won't want to go with that clothes. Then you want to go, put your cloak, then you make sure your scarf is tied properly. Take you 1 hour to get your scarf right. But when we're standing in front of Allah Pak, then we don't bother what we're wearing. We don't care. This is incorrect. The least we can do is slip on a cloak. The least we can do is put on a decent cloak or keep a nice, decent kaftan handy. And you say that, no, when I wake up Fajr time, I'll wear this kaftan or this nice gown or something, and then wear your burqa on top of that. So you are decent when you are standing in front of Allah Ta'ala to read your salah. Ji, khair. So don't wear clothing that we won't want to wear in front of people, because here we are going to stand in front of the King of all kings. We are ashamed to wear the clothing in front of mere mortals, but we are prepared to wear them in front of the King of all kings. Now we come to salah itself. When commencing the salah, have the intention within your heart that you are performing the salah in question. Right? I'm reading Zohar namaz, or I'm reading Asr namaz, or Maghrib namaz, whichever namaz it may be. You don't have to say the intention verbally. You don't have to pronounce the intention verbally, as long as you have got it in your heart. Right? Facing the palms towards the Qibla and the fingers up to the sky, raise the hands to the shoulders. Now obviously this is for the woman folk. Raise the hands to the shoulders without taking them out of your head covering. So your hands will be under your burqa. Right? You won't take it out. It will be under your burqa. A woman does not raise the hands up to the earlobes as men do. Women only pick it up to the shoulders. G. While raising the hands in the above manner, say Allahu Akbar and then place the left hand on your chest with the right palm on top of the back of your left hand. Unlike men, a woman will not grasp the wrist of the left hand with the thumb and little finger of the right hand, neither will she fold her hands beneath the navel as men do. This action of saying Allahu Akbar while raising the hands is called Takbir-e-Tahreema. Right? So this is how we will start our namaz, we will make our Takbir-e-Tahreema. When standing upright, the standing posture after the Takbir-e-Tahreema is called Qiyam. When performing salah by yourself, first recite the sana, followed by ta'awuz, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and then bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Thereafter recite surah Fatiha, adding the word ameen immediately after saying waladhallin. Now you will say ameen, but the ameen would be recited softly, right? Well, everything you will recite softly. Because you are a lady, your voice is in parda, everything you will recite softly for every salah. Then recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and any surah of the Quran Sharif, or at least three verses of any surah. So you will recite any surah, or you will recite three verses of any surah. Right? G. So that is termed as Qiraat. Right? Qiyam, then Qiraat. If you happen to be following an imam, in salah, like when you go to the Haram Sharif and you happen to be in the Haram and you don't go specifically to perform salah, but you happen to be there, right? You were making tawaf after Asr, you got a little bit delayed, Maghrib namaz came away in between. So now you read your salah behind the imam. So when you're reading your salah behind the imam, then you should only recite your sana. You only recite sana. You don't read ta'awuz and tasmiyah, and then you just listen to the imam. You don't recite any qiraat. Now this is for ahnaf, for Hanafis, right? If the imam is not reciting loudly, then concentrate on the meaning of surah Fatiha. Right? If the imam is not reciting loudly, concentrate on the meaning of surah Fatiha. Okay? This is a very nice way to concentrate, even for men folk. Sometimes men also find it a bit difficult, especially in the namazes where the imam is silent. Now you see, for ladies, you read namaz on your own, so you're reading surah Fatiha, you're reading the surah, it's easier to concentrate. Now for the men folk, when the imam is reading loudly in the Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, then they can listen to the recitation of the imam. But now in the Zohar namaz, in the Asr namaz, and in the Zohar namaz, Isha namaz, the second two rakats, in the Maghrib namaz, the last rakat, it's all silent. Right? So sometimes now when the person is standing and it's all silent, Shaitan starts playing games with the mind. So what we must do at that time is ponder over the meaning of Surah Fatiha. By pondering over the meaning of Suratul Fatiha, we will find that our concentration, inshallah, will remain intact. Okay? Our concentration will remain intact. G. But you don't read the Surah Fatiha. You just ponder over the meaning. You don't read. For Ahnaf, there is no Qiraat Khalf al-Imam. When you're standing behind an Imam, we don't make any Qiraat. Yes, the other Madhahib, they can read. In some, I think it's in the Shafi Madhab, is wajib for them to read, subject to correction. And in the other Madhaib, it is mustahab or it is recommended, etc. But for Ahnaf, we don't read behind the Imam, right? Okay. When reciting Surah Fatiha, pause after this. Now this they're talking again when you're reading on your own. So pause after reciting every verse, instead of reciting many verses with a single breath. Rather read every verse with a different breath, right? However, when reciting the surahs after Surah Fatiha, there is no harm in reciting many verses with a single breath. A woman should recite silently in all her surahs, as we mentioned earlier. Do not move any limb of the body unnecessarily. Remain as still as possible during your salah. Right? Remain as still as possible during your salah. Don't move about, and you know, scratch, and are you playing with your scarf and all these type of things, right? If there is an unbearable scratch, right, then scratch with just using one hand for a very brief moment, just to get that, you know, that itch, because that itch is now disrupting your salah. So just to get rid of the itch, just for a second or two, just scratch it with one hand, right, and continue with the salah. Number 5, it is wrong to rest the weight of the body on one leg while the other bends. You may either apply your weight equally to both legs, or if you need to take weight off one leg, do so in a manner that the other leg does not bend. Don't bend one leg and keep one leg straight. Right? You can either keep equal weight, or you can just ease the pressure on the one leg, but don't bend it. Don't bend the other leg. That's the point. Okay? Right. Let us stop here. Right? Let us try and stop here, and we'll continue on Monday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.